The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get to the Knicks in a little bit, and I've got hard evidence why Brian Daboll is screwed and probably will never be successful as head coach of the New York Giants. But first, it is Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. Okay, for those just getting in the car, just joining us, first of all, welcome. This is Evan and Tiki. I'm here to give you the five takeaways from the Joe Shane press conference that took place about 2 hours ago. In order of importance, I think.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, you think.
Here we go!
Number five.
According to Sean Morass, King Giant fan. Okay, here we go. Set these up. The biggest criticism of Joe Shane, I think, to this point at GM, has been the first two draft classes he had. Today, Joe Shane defended those drafts.
I like the guys in our first two drafts. Again, it's where we were then and what we were trying to do by moving back and we needed players. Like, there were five healthy offensive linemen on the roster at the time. So, you know, there were players or situations you were in trying to fill out the roster.
I interpreted that as he approached those first two drafts by drafting for need as opposed to best player, and he's understood why that's backfired.
By the way, Tommy, I'm telling you something.
I think you're right.
I just texted you an interview that was done with David Wright, and the reason I sent that to you is it finally hit me after listening to Joe Shane for 40 minutes and then you playing that clip. They sound exactly alike.
Yep, you're right.
So if you don't mind, I sent the interview. Just pull like one David Wright answer so we could show it to the audience and show it to Tiki. Shane and Wright are like the same person.
After Cinco, because this involves all the other Cinco.
Take your time. This is for later. So keep tuning in if you want to hear that. Anyhow.
That's interesting, though, because I think you're right.
Yeah.
Looking back at it.
Yeah.
We need our offense. All you hear when you take the Giants job is, you got to fix the offensive line.
He drafted three offensive linemen, including Evan Neal at 7, all seemingly have busted. And he says right there, he took on a roster where they only had 5 healthy offensive linemen.
Right, so they needed offensive linemen.
Yeah. But now,
didn't have the cap space to go get guys in free agency.
So when everybody criticizes those drafts, I kind of understand where he's coming from. Now that would make sense why draft 3 has looked really good when he stopped drafting for need.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I'm waving pom-poms. Here we go.
Number 4.
You said it, not me.
All right. Now, this was an interesting one that's really making the rounds to focus in on.
Yeah.
Joe Shane was specifically asked, coming off of the 9-7-1 first year, if there were any decisions from that offseason he would like to have back.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I did make some mistakes or some decisions I'd wish I'd have back, but I like the direction we're going. I like my team. I like my strategy. You know, the groups that help me in research and strategy, my scouting department. We've got a good coaching staff, and I truly believe we're heading in the right direction.
Now, Sean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I'm right. That was the first year of his staff that he hired.
Yes.
Because he fired a bunch of the Gettleman staff.
Correct. Now, you could take it two ways. The draft that year, which was Tay Banks and John Michael Schmitz.
Yep.
But that was the offseason they signed Daniel Jones.
Yes.
That's the one he wants to have back without admitting it.
Yeah. That was what everybody's leaning on. He's telling you, I'd like to have that back, but
right.
It's tough because I think while he's still active, it's very difficult and raw for him to say that.
Say that, right. But we also have gone through it. If you missed it, go rewind on the Odyssey app. They didn't have many choices. The free agents market wasn't big at all, and there was no way they could have moved up in the draft.
So you're right, he didn't have a lot of choices, but unfortunately, when you're a GM or a coach or whatever deciding factors are, you still have to live with the decision on if it worked or not.
I agreed.
So they signed him, and Daniel Jones is 3-13 and has thrown more interceptions than touchdowns.
We talked about what they could have done.
Right.
Franchised him instead of giving him a long-term deal.
Right.
So that it was year after year after year. Or, which now that I said it, because we were talking about this in real time, just let him try to go to free agency.
Well, I'm going to say something in response to that that I know to the audience is going to sound stupid and I don't even agree with, but I'm not an NFL GM.
Go ahead.
Is it also possible that he's not going to openly declare he made the mistake with Daniel Jones and Daniel Jones's contract with the less than 1% hope he could find a taker in a trade market rather than cut him in the offseason?
Maybe.
Yeah, you're right, because I think most general managers won't do it. The only one I ever heard do that was Brian Cashman, who once said, Sonny Gray can't handle New York. We're going to be trading him during the offseason. It was the only time I've ever heard a general manager basically rip his own client and say, just can't wait to get rid of
him. That's a different level of loathing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Cash is unique, right.
And if you come out and just say, this was nobody will ever take that. Right. Not that they will anyway, but just out there. All right, here we go.
Number three.
The team is 2-8. Joe Shane was flat out asked if he believes he put together a good enough roster. Okay, we're going to hold on a second because we fumbled the cuts here.
Joe Shane, let me ask you a question. Evan Roberts here, WFAN, thank you. You guys are 2-8, right? I don't want to be a jerk here, but you suck, okay? You're 2-8. Do you actually think you've put a good enough roster together, Joe?
You look down at this personnel and say, this team is not good enough.
Yeah,
I didn't put a good enough,
pulse.
I didn't give the coaches enough.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, Paul.
I don't think so, Paul. This, of course, led to a question about Brian Daboll and in which
naturally,
Joe Shane,
if you say you think the team is good enough and you're 2-8, well, then why are you 2-8?
This is where I thought Joe Shane started to get in a little trouble. It was, I'm going to protect myself. I think, but this means the coaches aren't doing a good enough job.
Right.
What happened?
But they're also so tied.
Yes.
Unlike a lot of situations around the NFL, I feel like these two are very much tied together.
Is there a scenario, any scenario, because you've become open more to, hey, this thing is a disaster. Yeah, they could be in trouble. You've admitted that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a scenario where one's here and one's gone or no
way? I don't
see
that.
Okay. I kind of agree with you. I think they're tied enough where...
It's rare.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to think of other situations that are like... The Jets are clearly not like this. The Commanders? No, I don't think they're like this either. I can't think of one where it's this tied.
Right. He picked a guy directly who he came here with.
Right.
Buffalo.
From the same staff. Like the same
organization.
And let's
be real. If you could only pick one to be back, I think most Shine fans would rather have Daboll back with a young quarterback than Shane based on the draft history.
You want me to put that poll up right now on social media?
I mean,
if
you like polls, sure.
I love polls. I'm a big poll guy. Anyhow, finish your list.
If you like polls, take the Bears GM.
Number two.
His name is Ryan Poles. Number two. Okay.
I got it. Nobody else did.
Number two, the Daniel.
I got it. It was dumb. It was fantastic. Ryan Poles. Yay. All right, go ahead.
Tommy, I'm sending a David Wright. Sounds like Joe Shane. My joke was better. Here we go. What am I doing now? Oh, number two. Daniel Jones' decision. Is it going to be about the injury guarantee? Joe Shane told us this.
Yeah, we're going to evaluate everything the rest of the week, and the decisions we make will be football decisions.
Football decision,
right?
Which I think is easy to say when the quarterback stinks right now. You can lean on it being a football decision.
You're going to go look at all these things that we've been looking at for the last couple of weeks and saying, he's just not making a throw.
I also think
he's late on the throw.
Teams don't want to admit they're making a decision based on a salary cap situation.
Right.
He doesn't want to do it.
But I also legitimately think it's not based on that. I really do. I don't think it'll be based on the injury guarantee.
I can't prove it, but I disagree with him. I think that they realize we're 2-8 with dad. This guy stinks.
Yeah, I mean,
Why risk it?
But the likelihood of him having a devastating injury that he can't recover from by March 1st or whatever the start of the league year is so small.
It's small, but why take it?
Especially when he's had two neck
injuries. Why take it when you're 2-8? I wouldn't take the risk.
One he's also. I will say this, though, about Daniel Jones. He, when he does take off and run, is running very recklessly, too.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to get hurt. I really don't.
You say that now? Actually, you don't have to say it. He's not playing again, so who cares?
All right. By the way, I'm sorry. I do want to hear that, David Wright. That was wrong of me to mock. Here we go.
Number one.
Last but not least, I think the most important thing Joe Shane was asked today was, do you expect to be back for another draft in 2025?
Do you expect to be back here, especially if this team doesn't win some games down the stretch?
Yes.
You expect to be back? Have you been told you definitely will be back?
I communicate with ownership all the time. I know Dave's talks about that continuously each time these questions come up.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have a really good relationship with ownership, and we communicate constantly with them, and, you know, there's confidence in the plan and where we're heading.
It wouldn't make sense for ownership to put in their head, by the way, you may not be back.
Yeah.
If they change their mind based on how bad the second half goes, they're not telling Joe Shane and Brian Daboll ahead of time.
Right, and if they are changing, it's because things went, like, even worse than they are.
In fact, I want to supply some information. And by the way, thank you for that, Cinco. Hardworking Sean Morash. We appreciate
this. Yes, because that one had to be put together pretty quickly.
Yes. Good work by you. So I said something to you earlier, and not to be cavalier, I did some research because I wanted to see if my theory was right. And that is, head coaches usually tell us who they are early on in their tenure.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're waiting in a year four, year five, kind of like quarterbacks, we already know the outcome. They're probably not the answer. So I decided to play a little game. It's called the good coach game. And I'm talking about active coaches in the NFL. Who is a good coach in the NFL? And what I excluded, to be fair, Tiki, are those that have only been coaching for a couple of years.
Right.
Because the jury's still out. I love D'Amico Ryans. I don't want to include him just because it's only been a couple of years.
Yeah.
Not fair. So I took the guys who have coached.
But he did win the division and he's leading it now.
Dude, he's a good coach.
You could almost say he's a good coach.
Absolutely.
Right. But I know what you're saying.
I wanted to pick guys that have been around for five or more years. So every single person on my good coach list has coached for five or more years. A lot of them, a lot more than that. I came up with 11 coaches.
Okay.
11 of the 32 coaches.
That are borderline. That are like could go one way or the other.
Oh, I think you'd all agree they're good coaches.
Oh, got it.
Every single one of them.
Got it.
Are good coaches. 11 of them. I want to let you guys start. I want you to name a good coach. And I'm going to tell you factoids about them and how Brian Daboll is far, far different than all of these guys. Mike McDaniel. I don't include him. Sorry, wrong guy.
Why?
Why? Why the hell would I include him?
Because he's a good coach.
How many years has he been there in Miami?
3 years?
Yeah, like I said, he hasn't been there long enough.
Oh, well, you want 5 years.
I said 5 years.
Yeah, but
exactly. He's a good tactician.
In fairness, I did say at the top of this, I want guys that have been there for five or more years.
So to re-clarify the rules.
So I'm mad at both of you because you brought up a guy who's been there for 3 years as head coach.
To re-clarify the rules, there's 11 guys who have been coaches for at least 5 years.
5 years. The only one who isn't is Jim Harbaugh. I included him. This is actually his fifth season. So he's only been there for 4 years. He's the one exception. But everyone else has coached for five or more years because I think there's enough of a track record.
Oh, in the NFL, not just with
good
the team.
Coaches. No, in the NFL.
Okay.
Five more years in the NFL.
All right, so you want me to start?
By the way, I'm a little annoyed. The first guy you come up with when I say name a good coach is that overrated clown Mike McDaniel.
He won 11 games last year, made the postseason. Won 9 games the year before.
You didn't want to say Andy Reid? Or Mike Tomlin?
Well, I know Andy Reid's a good coach. If you even have that as a conversation, it's like question your credibility.
But that's not... Okay, let me re-explain the game. Every single one of them showed you within their first 3 or 4 years that they are clearly NFL head coaches.
Oh, okay, so Daboll qualified. Yeah, coach of the year.
Dave's won coach of the year.
He does not, I'll tell you why.
Mike McDaniel is, by the way, the same year.
I'll tell you why.
He won the same amount of games in year one.
I'm going to take over the game because I need to explain.
What are the rules again?
So it sounds like Evan's the whole game spit up on him.
No, I'm going to show you the game. Sean McDermott has coached 7 years in the NFL.
Good coach.
How many losing seasons has he had?
I'm going to say none.
The answer is one, and his worst year was 6-10. Brian Daboll is about to face another losing season, and his worst season will be worse than 6-10. Mike Tomlin has coached 17 years in the NFL.
You can't even put
He's had zero losing seasons.
Why are you putting the obvious ones?
Because they're the good coaches in the NFL. Now, everyone else, the jury is still out on.
You're going to get to 9 more guys. I'm going to give you everybody a little spoiler alert. all 11 guys will have coached a Pro Bowl quarterback. Brian Daboll hasn't.
Will all of them have coached Pro Bowl quarterbacks?
Yeah, keep going. Now we have a new criteria. Keep going, Evan. Don't think about it.
John Harbaugh, two losing seasons.
Good coach.
Got in 16 years.
Right, he's got an MVP at quarterback.
I'm just saying.
And a Super Bowl champion.
The only guy.
Keep going. Next one. Forget
Zach Taylor. Two losing seasons. His worst year was his first 2-14, but they got better every single year.
All-pro quarterback and a guy who took him to the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's,
keep going.
So he was allowed to win two games and got better. First overall quarterback.
I'm going to frame it this way then, since you don't like my
game. What happened to Zach Taylor? By the way, I called one of Zach Taylor's games.
Yes.
No, neither one of you were with me because I was with BT. First thing I said when I came back to BT,
what?
Zach Taylor ain't that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you don't believe in Zach Taylor?
No. Back then, I didn't.
Oh, I got you.
And you know what he did? Drafted Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Right, but in fairness, his first year was a disaster, 2-14. They drafted Joe Burrow.
Yeah, exactly.
His second year, Joe gets hurt, they go 4-11, and since then they've gotten better and better.
Evan, they're great. Just one quick question.
Yes.
If Zach Taylor that first year has, say, Tommy DeVito, the stretch run, and they go from 2 wins to 5 wins, he doesn't have Burrow, is he still the coach of the Bengals?
Probably not.
Thank you. Keep going.
Okay. Forget my game because it's not proving my point.
It's because you're picking all these coaches that have good quarterbacks.
Every single good coach in the NFL did not have as bad of a year as Dable's likely to have this year and hasn't had three losing seasons.
I thought you were going to say every good coach that you picked, I thought you were going to concede, has had a good quarterback.
Let me go through them. So Zach Taylor, Doug Peterson, kind of. Like Carson Wentz into Nick Foles. Like, I don't know.
They won a Super Bowl.
So I'll frame it this way.
Andy Reid, without a doubt.
I'll frame it this way. You guys are very defensive.
Jim Harbaugh,
about this.
No doubt.
Name me a head coach that has had as bad of a year as Daboll is going to have and got worse from year one, year two to year three and is still coaching in the NFL. Name one. Name any example. I don't care. Name one. The answer is zero. So if you don't like this game because they all have quarterbacks, that's not true. Doug Peterson's had one losing season in his NFL career. One. This will be his second in all likelihood. Brian Daboll's about to face his second. He's had 5 winning seasons. So I'll ask it that way then. I'll make it easier. Name me, since all of these coaches have had quarterbacks, which is fair, all of them, all the good coaches have had quarterbacks, I guess. Maybe they have nothing to do with it, or maybe they have something to do with it. All of these coaches have not had years that are likely to be as bad as the one Brian Daboll is going to have. Most of these coaches have had only one or two losing seasons in their entire career. So let's throw that aside. Name me a coach that will have put together a resume through 3 years like Brian Daboll and turned out to be good. Go ahead, I'll wait.
Kevin Stefanski?
Has he?
I mean,
is he a good coach? Are we convinced of that?
He was 11-5. They went to the playoffs.
Okay.
Then he was losing season. Then he was 11-6 in his fourth year.
This is only going to be his second losing season, though.
This will be his.
This is only going to be his second.
Third.
Third, right, because he was 8-9 and 7-10.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. I still think Stefanski's accomplished more than Brian Daboll. I don't think that works either. When is he going to have a year of 3 or 4 wins like Daboll's going to have?
Wait, who was his quarterbacks? Exactly.
But still, I think his resume is better.
But that matters.
Even without the quarterback.
But it matters, dude.
Of course it matters. But
how many head coaches in the NFL?
Do you not see that most coaches will tell us if they're good or not within their first 3 seasons? And Brian Daboll's track record is going to be that. He's going to put together a resume where he'll have to be the first. And you guys are right about the quarterback, but at least admit he's going to try to do something that hasn't been backed up by anybody else.
Right.
Every one of these good quarterbacks.
Stefanski's as close as you can get because he won Coach of the Year.
I think that's a good example, yeah.
He won Coach and then had a losing season with Baker. Baker got hurt. Then he had his third year. It was terrible. They were 7-10. Then this fourth year, they were 11-6.
Yeah, and who are their quarterbacks? Who was his quarterback in 2023?
Last year was Joe Flacco.
Yeah. So what are we talking about with quarterbacks? And Deshaun Watson.
I mean, Joe Flacco played great.
Oh, come on.
He played great. They had the best defense in football.
Deshaun, but every other quarterback.
They had the best defense in football, Evan.
Okay. Still.
Did the Giants have the best defense in football?
But you guys were bringing up the quarterbacks. Now I'm answering it with an example of a guy who didn't have quarterbacks, and you're changing it to, what about the defense?
The year before that?
I'm just giving you results.
The year before that, they had Deshaun Watson and Jacoby Brissett.
Yeah, they went 7-10.
Exactly.
Brian Daboll went 6-11, and God knows what this year is.
With Tommy DeVito.
How many of those coaches are winning 10 games with Daniel Jones?
That's not the point.
It is the point.
No. How many coaches?
Daboll might go to Canton off the year.
Sean, how many coaches have put together that resume wins and losses-wise through 3 years and have come out on the other side? And Kevin Stefanski's not the answer because He won 11 games in two of his first 4 years.
All right, let me ask you.
So, but do you have an answer to that question, or are you just accepting the L?
No,
Dave is only in his third year.
I agree.
How do we know next year he's not going to win 12 games?
I mean, I guess it could happen.
Strictly coloring between the lines of your rules, you're right.
But through 3 years, Stefanski won 26 games.
Okay.
How many has Brian Daboll won? Four less?
How many of those guys have been allowed to pick their quarterback? Brian Daboll's still playing with the same inherited quarterback.
17.
My only, okay, that's far less.
Far less, but they had a first-round quarterback in Baker Mayfield.
My point to you is there are no coaches with that resume through 3 years. By the way, the quarterback thing is fair. I'm not even saying you're wrong. How many coaches have put together that resume through 3 years and turned out to be successful?
None.
Thank you.
Can I throw a name out there?
Yeah, go
see
ahead.
What these two guys?
There's one.
Brandon Staley was 3 years with the Chargers, mm-hmm. better record than Daboll, went to the playoffs, had Justin Herbert as his quarterback. He got fired. They're winning games now at Harbaugh with the same quarterback. So he had better record than Daboll, went to the playoffs like Daboll did, and he got fired.
Let me
the
go find his coach of the year.
Okay, you want a trophy because the guy won coach of the year? You're going to hang your hat on a coach of the year?
What?
He has a better resume, Staley, than Daboll.
This goes for you and Evan. I understand that Brian Daboll may not be the perfect head coach.
By the way, I disagree with Lugie's comparison, about I don't own that.
Staley stinks. Okay?
That's why I said it.
I understand that Joe Shane.
He doesn't stink. He had a 500 record and he went to the playoffs.
Listen,
You know what the answer is. You know there is an answer.
Yeah, there's an answer to that one.
That Justin Herbert?
Herbert, I think.
No, not even. I'm talking about Evan's original question.
Oh,
forget the whatever, moonshot that Lugie just threw out there.
Because I don't own that one.
Right.
Give me an answer to my question. Go ahead.
Todd Bowles.
That's dirty. That's freaking dirty. You went below the belt with that.
I did.
You went below the freaking belt with that.
I did.
Because you know what? I'm not convinced he's a good head coach.
I mean,
I won't own that.
He won 10 games with the Jets, and then he won a Super Bowl.
What did we all think when Tom Brady retired and Bruce Arians was long gone in Tampa? We thought they were going to stink,
what
right?
What have they won since Todd Bowles got there?
Oh, so now it's okay just to make the playoffs, or not okay just to make the playoffs.
What does that mean?
What have they won? So it's now only based on Super Bowls? You've basically painted us for 2 years that with the Jets, it's about making the playoffs.
This isn't the Jets. You're talking about if Todd Bowles is a good head coach. Is Todd Bowles a good head coach? He's been in the league for 8 years.
I think he is.
I think he's on. I wouldn't put him in the good list. I wouldn't put him in the top 11 of the guys.
He's not a great head coach. It's hard to say he's not a good head
coach. Would you be happy if Brian Daboll is Todd Bowles after 8 years? That's the fair question.
Making the playoffs, winning a division 3 years in a row?
He's made the playoffs twice. He's won one playoff game. Daboll's already accomplished that, by the way.
Mm.
Would you be okay with that?
Yeah, because that means I'm constantly a playoff team.
No, he's been in the playoffs twice. He's been coached for 8 years. He's been in the playoffs twice.
But the last 2 years?
With the Jets?
What was that?
He was in the playoffs.
He was not in the playoffs with the Jets.
Oh, make it that year.
Yeah.
they collapsed.
I know what you're doing. Tiki doesn't like me today, so now he's trolling me at the end. He's like, didn't you make the playoffs in 15?
I legitimately forgot.
Yeah. No, I know what you did. You've learned from Sean, and you've learned from me. You're trolling my ass right now. I thought you guys beat Buffalo 2015. What? I do a high-pitched voice when you're trolling. What?
As long as we're talking about the New York Jets and their playoff drought, I just need
We're not talking about the Jets and their playoff drought. You trolled it.
No. Listen, it's almost 5:30. I think people are getting hungry across. Can you just answer me this?
Go ahead.
Tonight at Madison Square Garden, the Winnipeg Jets are playing the New York Rangers. Do you think the Winnipeg Jets are having dinner with the New York Jets tonight?
This guy waited 30 minutes.
This guy waited for the first 3.5 hours of the show. He's like, when am I going to get this in? I got to get this in. By the way, I'm on the fence about Brian Daboll. I really am. I know that my point to you guys did not like, and you didn't take it, and you blew it up before I could present to you all my research. But I'm on the fence about him, and a part of why I'm on the fence about him are the facts I'm laying out, that most coaches declare who they are within mm-hmm. 3 years.
Yeah, you know pretty quickly.
But the part of me that...
So the problem with Dave's, and I know why you're confused by this, is because of what happened in year one.
I'll tell you why. It's partially, but not as much. What I'm confused about with Daboll, and this is the thing I think a lot of Giant fans have deep down in their soul. I'm going to represent Giant fans when I say this. It would be very difficult to not see what he can do with his own quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something. In fact, I listened to Sean. Sean said, poll Giant fans, if you could bring only one guy back, Joe Shane versus Brian Daboll, who would you pick? And I put that up there on my X feed or Twitter feed. And it's overwhelming Daboll. And I think the reason it is because there are Giant fans and football fans that, as down as they are on him,
mm-hmm.
as down, they may be just like Tommy. He sucks. He's tanking. He's an idiot. He's a coward. Whatever phrase you want to use, even you, think deep down, what would he be like with a real young quarterback he can mold?
And I can't really even blame Joe Shane because, as we talked about many times, there wasn't a good answer. There really wasn't a good answer. You should have just, it's hard after going to the playoffs with Daniel Jones, who was a first round draft pick, smart kid, works his butt off. And I will never take that away from him because he works his butt off. And I think there's some guys in that locker room that probably aren't working as hard. Daniel Jones is always working his butt off, but he's just not good enough. And so, like, and at some point you come to that realization. I think a lot of Giants fans probably did before I did, but it's, you know, that if Dave's gets his hands on somebody who can really mold into who he wants him to be, what, how good will they be?
And it's not even, I know he would mold him in, it's the uncertainty. If I fired Brian Daboll, Loogie, if you got what you wanted, if I were you, there'd be a part of me, even if it's a small part of me, that wonders what he would do with whomever you draft in the first round at quarterback. And that's the part where I wrestle with myself. I do. I physically wrestle between blow it up, this sucks, you already know he can't move on, versus I just got to see it. I got to see what he does with a young quarterback.
But I just think a winning, successful organization in the NFL needs all three of these things. A great GM, a great head coach, and a great quarterback. Sean McDermott sucks as a head coach. Sucks. Josh Allen is a great quarterback. He masks how bad he is. He should have been fired years ago.
Brandon Bean is a good GM. Yeah, he's a really good
GM. But they don't have a good head coach. In my humble opinion, I think a lot of Bills fans would agree with that. You need all three. I don't trust that this general manager and head coach, even with a great young quarterback, can win. I just don't. I haven't seen enough here.
Would there be a small part of you, if they fire these guys, specifically Daboll, that's going to wonder what he would have done with a young quarterback? There's got to be.
Mm. And I think we'll find out.
I'm trying to think who would be the right Ben Johnson. Maybe it doesn't, like, you forget about it because he could probably do the same thing. But again, we haven't seen Ben Johnson do that. We've seen Ben Johnson be elite with a veteran in Jared Goff.
Right. We haven't seen him develop a quarterback.
Who was cast off. It's a different skill set.
Very much so.
And so it's a risky path to walk down if you're crying or screaming for Brian Daboll to be fired.
Speaking of Sean McDermott, I'm not going to spell out the specifics because they would offend everybody, so I'm just going to paint something for you. We all know what Sean McDermott is accused of doing. Mm-hmm. He admitted he did a few years ago with why he tried to pump up everybody with that speech. Thank God the Bills didn't play in Germany. I'll leave it at that. We'll come back and get back to your calls at 888-808-1019. Your reaction to what Joe Shane had to say. And Nick fans, you're playing for a cup tonight. And also, speaking of evidence and research I've done, Tiki and Sean didn't like what I presented about Brian Daboll. What are they going to think about what I presented about another coach that I'm going to hold to the fire? His name? Tom Thibodeau. Mm. This may surprise you, but SNY.tv/vote had our fun poll that we like to do every once in a while, our SNY Fan Choice poll, which is, as always, is sponsored by Dunkin', the official coffee of Evan and Tiki. And the question today was, which team will sign Juan Soto? 82% said the New York Mets. That is a landslide victory.
Oh, that settles it.
That settles it. It's over. He's a Met. 12% said the Yankees. 6% said the other. The latest on
How many said the Nationals?
Well, that's a part of the other. As of right now, the reporting has said, according to John Heyman, and I think Jeff passed out a great article about it late last night or early this morning, I forget when I read it, that there are four teams that are going to meet with Juan Soto in Southern California. The New York Mets, Francisco Lindor has landed. He's on his way to be a part of the meeting. The Yankees, which they've confirmed, Aaron Boone's a part of the meeting. And then the other two teams, at least with meetings, the Toronto Blue Jays, who are going to have the first meeting, and the Boston Red Sox. So all those other teams that we've talked about, the Phillies, the Nationals, the Dodgers, the Giants, so far no meetings. Now, Jeff Passan, who I think he's the best baseball reporter out there, said, and I quote, the Dodgers are not involved.
Yeah. The Dodgers are going to send a simple message. After you meet with everybody else, come to us. We'll give you an extra 10.
No shot.
The quote, we don't need to woo you. You know what we're about. We're world champions. That's all you got
to
say.
I am willing to bet anybody, because Loogie's a guy who thinks he goes to the Dodgers, and I've even said it to him. I'll bet you whatever you want, and he won't take the bet, which shows me everybody knows He's not going to the Dodgers.
No, no, no. I said I think he's going to the Mets, but I would not sleep on the Dodgers.
So let's make a bet. I'll give you odds. I'll give you whatever you want. He's not going to the Dodgers.
The Dodgers are wolves in sheep's clothing. They're laying in the weeds. Everybody's overlooking them. Mm-hmm. They have all the reason in the world to build a dynasty and
surprise. Okay, but here's why.
We already did everything. We took control of the galaxy. There's the Death Star. Now we're killing all you.
But they've got Shohei Ohtani signed for 1 million years as a DH. Juan Soto's years away, a few years away from being a DH. They're not going to be invested 8 years from now on both of those guys DHing.
Well, maybe they change the rules in Major League Baseball and you have two DHs.
Don't start with me.
Just kidding.
We'll get to Tom Thibodeau and why I've got evidence that what he's doing to start this year is complete malpractice and it's hurting the New York Knicks. But let's get back to some of your phone calls, including Damian in St. James. How are you, Damian?
Hello, man. How are you?
Good. What's up?
What's up?
Before I get to my Giants point, I have a new show name suggestion. I think the show should be called Tiki and TB because Evan coughs so much, it sounds like a tuberculosis ward up there.
Oh, man. I'm getting over being sick, and I shut my mic off every time. What do you want from me?
You sound like Sean trolling him for coughing.
You know what? Watch this, Damian. Bronk. Oh, I'm Aaron Judge in the fifth inning of the World Series.
Too soon. I didn't mean to. Way too soon.
So the subject of what I'm calling is a matter of loss. And the way I look at it, the Giants organization is more concerned with loss of money over, like, you know, shelving Jones and loss of pride about the bad draft picks than they are about the actual losses in a season. And it, to me, it's like, as a fan, it's really aggravating because the money is printed up like crazy in the NFL and draft picks come and they come and they keep coming. But the losses, the games are finite. But they don't value the games over everything
else.
What
decision do you think they're making because of draft picks?
Yeah.
Well, just all the terrible ones. Just there's like a loss of pride. Like, you know, like they don't want to lose pride over the fact that picked bad players.
But specifically, who are they playing?
So I think he's just responding to Joe Shane saying that he has drafted well, that the team is improving. And so he's more concerned. This is what he was saying.
Mm.
James was saying. No, not James. He was in St. James. But whatever. What the last caller was saying.
Damian. Doesn't like my cough.
Right. What Damian was saying is Joe Shane's more worried about having a good roster than wins and losses.
No, I think that they're related. I think the thought is the better roster you have, the better chance you're going to have to win games. And here's the convoluted part about draft picks. You know, I talked about this yesterday with you with Joe Douglas. If we took Joe Douglas's drafts and we put it all on a giant board, because he's been here for 6 years, and we started grading the job he's done, you may come away from it and say, well, overall, he's done a really good job.
Yeah.
He's had some really good drafts, especially going back to 2022 with what he did with Garrett and Sauce in the first round. Like, no doubt about it. But eventually, you got to win. You could have all the great draft picks in the world. Eventually, it comes down to wins and losses. Now, Shane's a little different. It's only 3 years.
Right.
Joe's 6 years. Douglas, that is. So, right. I admit it's a completely different sample size, but at some point it's not about this player or that player. It's about winning football games. Right. You're judged on wins and losses.
Well, it's also, especially if you're going to compare those two, it's about what you, the team you created and what that expectation became because of that team.
Yes.
I don't think the Giants have reached a high expectation yet. I know they want to talk about getting better. They haven't reached an expectation. Well, like, this is a perennial playoff team. Whereas the Jets have, I mean, they were anointed a Super Bowl contending team 2 years ago.
Hmm.
And so it just, that hasn't happened. So where does the blame fall? Now, I know they scapegoated their head coach and fired after week five, but it's still, ultimately, it's got to go upstream somewhere. Right? Right now, it's not upstream. It's going downstream. It's going to the,
I'm proud of you.
The players and everybody else.
No, I'm very proud of you.
Why?
Because with a smile and very deftly and very carefully, you're a freaking troll right now.
I'm not trolling anybody.
No, you aren't. And I'm impressed by it.
I'm stating facts.
I'm impressed by it.
Am I not stating facts?
I was stating facts earlier about coaches and success rates.
Right.
And you guys still got mad at me and thought
I
was trolling.
We needed the caveat. We needed the quarterback.
No, I have no caveats. The Jets stink. I have no caveats, but I see what you're doing, and I respect it. I respect your game, sir. Pete's in Massapequa. How are you, Pete?
Hey, guys, how are you? I really called to argue with Kiki. How you doing, Teak? I come from a huge Commanders fan.
Appreciate
it. So the reason I'm calling, I love you, but when you're talking about all the ifs with the Giants, they could have so many wins. I hope you let me finish. When you talk about the Redskins game, the first time they played
Commanders,
the Commanders, they didn't punt the whole game. The Commanders went up and down the field the whole game.
Right, defense was atrocious.
You talked about the Giants didn't have a kicker. They went for it on fourth down 3 times and scored 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
So forget the kick, they got touchdowns out of it. The second time the Commanders played them, they destroyed them, and they went down on their knees the last play of the game, the last 4 downs. The Commanders, again, went up and down the field. But when you talk about ifs, here's my problem is, I could say if the Commanders had a good cornerback, they'd not be 9-1. They have no secondary, and they're right. still playing like this. So I don't understand how you justify saying, you know, the Giants could be this, could be this. It doesn't make sense. If you don't have the players, you don't have the players. So if you don't make the plays and you don't have the players, then you are what you are. You can't say, well, they could be this, they could be that. Anybody
yeah, but let me ask you this, Pete. What's the main reason that the Commanders have been good this year?
Jaden Daniels.
Exactly. They've gotten exceptional quarterback play. Now, he's young. He's still growing.
The whole franchise over, too. They turned everything over.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, but it helped. Two things helped. One, Dan Quinn is a good head coach, and he's a good dude. Like, he's a good man. He just fell out of favor in Atlanta after the whole, you know, 28-3 debacle with the Patriots, and he never kind of got it back. Like, that mojo, he never got it back. But he's always been a good coach, and so he had a ton of experience, and then he got a good kind of off the radar, even though he was a former NFL head coach, offensive coordinator in Cliff Kingsbury, who's good with working with young quarterbacks. And so I give Dan Quinn a ton of credit for putting together the right staff. The right staff for a young quarterback is really the most important thing. Now, with the Giants, I think they have some good players, but the guy who needs to be the playmaker, the catalyst, just isn't in moments that matter most. And that's Daniel Jones. And I've talked about it many weeks. I've talked about it even last week in the loss in Germany. Like, there are plays you have to make in those moments, game deciding moments that Daniel Jones isn't doing. And so as they evaluate everybody from a football standpoint this week, that's what we've heard from Joe Shane, and we heard it from Brian Daboll. Like, they're going to have to reckon with that.
Yeah.
Because it's obvious. And I think nobody wants to say it because everybody likes Daniel Jones. Everybody knows that
as a
captain and as a hard worker, they want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you have to do it. And he just isn't. And that's why they're losing some of these games, all of which are close.
By the way, one thing I am curious about, and it wasn't asked to Brian Daboll, it was not asked to Joe Shane, and we're going to get the answer soon enough, is if you're considering all your options at quarterback, like that is now on the table, are you considering both Drew Lock and Tommy DeVito?
Yeah.
How are you evaluating three? Because this isn't as simple as sit Daniel Jones, I need backup. It's sit Daniel Jones, but okay, who are you playing?
Yeah.
Is it Drew Lock? We had a caller earlier who said, hey guys, why are we dismissing him? He's 28 years old. Let's see what he's got. Obviously, the people's choice is Tommy DeVito.
You ain't all right, buddy.
There's no metric from practice that's going to tell you that.
So what are you basing it on?
Gut. Right. This is a baseball skip right now.
If you had to guess right now, because I've laid it out there, I do not think Drew Lock will ever start a game for the New York Giants. Yeah. I believe Tommy DeVito will be the starter.
I'm with you.
So they're going right to Tommy.
Yeah, because I think you can't focus on this season any longer. I told you that after the Germany game that I'm putting a cap on it.
But that's not what they're saying. Joe said I'm only focused on this season.
Nobody wants to hear that you're told in the rest of the season. You got 7 games.
Right.
It's a lot of things you still got to do and evaluate. And by the way, anything could happen. Right? Could you get in at 9-8? Maybe. I doubt
it. I'd say that.
But think about like you have to give these guys hope so they have something to play for.
Time out. You said, can you repeat the 9-8 thing real quick?
Can they can maybe get in, but probably not.
Turn the mic on, Sean. Why aren't you cackling like a horse when I talked about the Jets running the table? Go ahead. Cackle.
By the way, I'm only talking about what you tell the locker room.
No, I get you.
I don't actually believe that.
Cackle.
This is why I'm not cackling.
Why? I don't believe the Jets are on the table. I said that, hey, they could go undefeated and make the playoffs.
Evan,
by the way, Evan, you listened to...
Yes.
You listened... I know because I heard you. I was in your office while you were listening to Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee.
I did.
It was a mostly unlistenable interview.
It was unlistenable.
But we were listening to it.
Yes.
And what was one thing that Aaron kept saying?
It's all right in front of us.
Exactly.
Yes.
We can make a run. And Aaron is just doing his job as one of the leaders on that team. You have to tell guys that.
I don't blame Aaron Rodgers for thinking that. I don't blame Giant players for thinking that. I blame Cackling Sean
for cackling at
me and Loogie when we talked about, hey, they could still make the playoffs.
Tell the whole truth and nothing but the
truth. That is the whole
you
truth.
You can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth. What I cackled at was last week on Friday, for those of you that missed it, it's still available on the podcast feed. Evan said, hey, even if the Jets lose to the Cardinals, I'm going to come in here Monday and we're not dead yet.
That's BS.
That's exactly why I laughed. No, I said, Evan, no, if they lose to the Cardinals, you're going to have that take. Come on.
Right, now I
and guess what you said on Monday?
I got to fix
it. They're out. They're dead. I was right. That's why I cackled.
Now, you're completely lying. So here's what happened. You asked Tommy, positive Tommy, if the Jets lose to the Cardinals, will you concede that they're not making the playoffs? Even before he answered, I said, why would he concede? As bad as it's going to look, they still would have a shot to make the playoffs.
No, everything's still right in front of us.
They ran the table. You started laughing. I said, wait a second. I'm not telling you they're going to run the table. I'm telling you, why would you ask him to concede when it's still a mathematic possibility? By SNY. Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. Also, Mets Hot Stove is premiering tonight at 6:30. They're going to have the latest on the Mets, and they're meeting with Juan Soto, and it's going to be great stuff. And Pete Alonso. So check it out, 6:30 SNY. So,
all right, you can have revisions history all you want.
That's how it started. You want me to pull the audio? I'll pull the audio.
I'm going to do a little. Look, Tiki was in
Kinky. That's the Rock. That's what he says.
Yes.
Tiki was in Kinky boots.
If you smell.
Yeah.
I've never been in anything, but I'm going to reenact what happened. I'm a positive talk. Come on. Evan, you can't come on the air Monday and think they still have a shot at the playoffs. I will, because they will.
I don't think the Jets have a shot to the playoffs. Are they mathematically possibly in it? Sure. Yes. I think the Giants could be, too, if they ran the table.
Which is why you have to tell yourself that. Even if you don't actually believe it, you got to tell yourself that.
I have no problem.
Sometimes you lie to yourself to make you feel better.
Of course. I lie to myself every time I look in the mirror.
Or you lie to your wife to make her feel better.
That's a given.
That's a given. That comes on the marriage certificate.
No doubt.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.